Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. I would like to hear from you. Be sure to visit the website. Take advantage of the resources, the videos there. And if the Holy Spirit leads you, please obediently support the work here at firstamendmentradio.com and crosstheborder.org. We're in Amos chapter 5 and verse 7. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars with and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Now, speaking of translations here, we all know that this is kind of a, and how do I put this? a gross misstatement. This sentence here, the Lord is his name. Obviously, the Lord is not his name. So the translators, you know, when it came to something as explicit as this, where it says they translated the Tetragrammaton from the Hebrew, the 3068, the YHWH, and it says, the Lord is his name. Well, they should have at least put in the YHWH. And there's several places where they put Yah in, you know. I mean, I think there's like two places in the whole scripture where they ventured to say Yah and, instead of the Lord. But for some reason, I don't know what the reason was. The translators didn't tell us why they did this. And, let's see if it's any difference over there. Maybe this is where the Geneva got it right. What do you think? Amos 5:8, where it says, the Lord is his name. Now let's see, Amos 5:8, Orion, he turneth the shadow of death in the morning, and he maketh the day dark as night. He calleth the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the earth. The Lord is his name. Okay. Yes, no difference there. I'm not going to get much more by using the Geneva. So anyway, I'll go back to the King James Plus here, where I can actually see the 3068. And they did this. They did do this in the authorized. They put the and all caps Lord to signify the name that they use. Anyway, so we know the Lord is not his name, even though they wrote that here. It's almost oxymoronic to read it because it is so obviously not the case. So every translation has its problem. Okay. The Geneva, as far as I can tell, is not any better. And like I said, as far as for study capability, it's lacking the Greek and Hebrew being tied to it with this wonderful tool that I have with the eSword. Now, before eSword was available, I used a program called QuickVerse, which I purchased back in the late 80s or early 90s. I believe it was the early 90s before QuickVerse became available. And I purchased that and was using that on the air until I found eSword, which is a much better program. Of course, things get better with time. Anyway, so we have the 3068, the Yahuwah. And, well, let's take a minute for all of those of you who aren't familiar with how do we come to that. And this is a good lesson here, how we come to the name Yahuwah, because people like to argue over the name. I'm not sure I have it perfectly right. I'm sure that when Messiah comes that I'll get it right then, because he says that I'll know, even as I am known, that I'll know all things. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that day, but I don't claim that for myself now. But I use the tools that I have to come to the best determination that I can. And so I mouse over the where it says, the Lord, 3068, is his name. And I mouse over that, and it says, And here's how a Strong got it from the Strong's Concordance, Greek Hebrew Concordance. He has it Yehovah. Okay. The self-existent, eternal, and then he puts in there Jehovah, Jewish national name of God. I don't think so. I don't think they ever said Jehovah, but because that's obviously not a correct pronunciation of his name. And how do we come to that? Well, we come to it this way. Yah, hallelujah. So we know the Yah part is the first part, as in hallelujah. No one says hallelujah. No one says hallelujah. They say hallelujah. So we have Yah. And ho, Yahoo. And I believe it's Yahoo because now if we go back to the Hebrew pronunciation of names, like we have Eliyahu, which is Elijah. The English version is Elijah. So we find you have even modern day Hebrews use the Yahoo, like you have Netanyahu, you know, that famous guy over there, or Netanyahu. So you have the Yahoo. So we have the first part right. And then it has the Va. But see, what happened there? Why do we pronounce it Va? And this is where looking at the earlier English comes in handy. You look at the Geneva and the King James Version, and you realize that the V and the U changed places. So it wouldn't be Va, it would be a form of the U, or actually a Yahuwah. So that's how I come to my conclusion. And if you want more, I've got, I don't know what it, how many pages the thing on the dissertation on the name is on my website, but you can look for it there. And perhaps when you see all of that, you'll come to the same conclusion. I didn't write it. I compiled it. And so I can't take any credit for it, but it's just looking for the proper translation and pronunciation of the name. It's an interest to me. If someone says Jehovah, that's fine. You know, if all they can get out of their mouth is the Lord, that's great. You know, what really matters is that his law is being written in their minds and upon their hearts, that they've experienced that new birth, that they're born again. We'll all get the pronunciation correct when he returns. I know some people are so judgmental that they turn judgment to wormwood by saying that you have to pronounce the name correct or you're sinning against God and you're going to be damned to hell. There are people out there like this. I am so glad that, you know, that they're not my judge, that my judge is actually, you know, the King of the universe, the creator of all things, and that he judges the heart and not our pronunciation skills. Yes, I am so glad that he judges the thoughts and the intents of our heart. I have a neighbor who's a Seventh-day Adventist, and as most Seventh-day Adventists are, they are legalistic about the Sabbath, and of course the Sabbath being Saturday. And I was up at his house the other night for some reason, because we stop there once in a while, we have discussions, and for other reasons we get together. And I noticed, I looked over in the western sky, and I saw the first sliver of the new moon, you know. And there it was. It was the first sliver of the new moon. And it was a new moon day because the first day of the month or the moon cycle ends with the first sliver of the moon. And when you see the first sliver of the moon in the evening, because it was evening, you say, well, tomorrow is going to be the first work day of the month. And then you start your count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then the seventh day is the Sabbath. But the first day of the month is always a new moon day. And I commented on that to him. Well, that started him off. And he says, well, this, and he started calling the first day. He started talking about Sunday and the Bible. And because I started to discuss with him how I come to that conclusion from the calendar that God gave the children of Israel. in the wilderness there. And he started calling the first day Sunday. And I tried to correct him. I said, no, Sunday is not the first day. The Hebrews didn't keep Sunday. They didn't keep pagan Roman days. As a matter of fact, those pagan Roman days, as far as I know, you know, didn't come about until Rome. And he said, oh, well, it's the same thing. It's just language has changed that Sunday means first day. And so what he was doing by imposing Sunday as it just being a word change, he was imposing the perpetual seven-day cycle. And so once you impose it, there's no getting out of it. So because he was saying that the cycle isn't determined by the moon with every moon cycle, but it's determined by a perpetual cycle. So Sunday is always the first day and always will be. So it pretty much stuck on that. And I had to say, well, you know what? If you're right and I'm wrong, my belief, my faith is such that God is going to judge the intent, integrity of my heart. And even though I have the wrong Sabbath day, I'm going to be judged righteous because I lived by faith. And he judges me by the integrity of my heart. And I said, and then I turn it the other way and I say, what if I'm right and you're wrong? But he just said that I'm wrong and there was no two ways about it. So I pretty much kind of, you know, change the topic. Oh, I got to run. I got to run, you know. Anyway, but people are that way and they get these things and from their denominations or their teaching and they just cannot seem to consider that someone else might be wrong or might be right and they might be wrong or vice versa, that there's only one way and they just can't even consider or put it down and really look at the Bible and see what it says. And because that's how I come to the determination I've come to. It's just by searching out the scripture. You know, it's just like, you know, I could never find that gap. You know, I can't find a pre-last Trump resurrection, you know, it's called the rapture. I can't find it in there. There's only one resurrection of the dead. You know, there isn't another one. There isn't one before it, 3.5 years or 7 years before it. As a matter of fact, I can't even find that 7 year period in there. Outside of Daniel's 70th week, which I believe comes after the 69th week, because I can't find anything in the scripture. So it's a good thing to put down all your preconceptions and just try to find out what the word really says. Because I think that, you know, that my friend who is trying to impose the, by his use of the word Sunday in place of the first day of the week, I think that he really believes that if I don't keep the Sabbath according to his denomination, that I will be lost. And that kind of makes me sad because, you know, what does that say about him if he's wrong? If he's relying upon works to be saved? See, I'm not. I told him, I says, well, you know, it doesn't matter to me because I have liberty. I don't have to keep the right day. Because God is writing his law upon my heart. It's no longer tablets of stone that I'm keeping. I'm compelled to keep his law because it's in me. Now it's in me. And that's the difference. I think he's trying to keep tablets of stone. And it's not really in him. That makes me sad. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars of Orion and turneth the shadow of death into morning and maketh the day dark with the night and calleth the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Yahuwah is his name. That strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Hey, welcome to America. They hate them that rebuke in the gate. They abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Forasmuch, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take him from the burdens of the wheat, ye have built houses and hewn of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time. For it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God, it says there, Yahuwah, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. What's your answer? What are you speaking? Do you seek him that you might live? Or do you continue? There are a lot of people, they don't really seek him. They live on the assurances of false assurances of salvation. They said the magic words one day. They had a burning sensation in their bosom or whatever. The law was nailed to the cross. We don't have to worry about that. But then why did the master speak these words? If you love me, keep my commandments. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, not everyone who calls me, Lord, Lord, shall be saved. But he said, only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And what is the will of his Father who is in heaven? He wrote it down for us, his commandments, his statutes, his judgment. And then he said, I will write them upon your heart. I will write them in your mind and upon your heart, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Is it in you? That's the question. Is it in you? Is that where it comes from? Or are you compelled by tablets of stone to earn your way by your works into salvation? There's a fine line there. Those hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Yeah, there's, see the 10 and 100, the 100 of 1,000, the remnant. And it may be, say, that's how many. What I want to be one of those 10, the remnant, that it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant. Oh, Heavenly Father, be gracious unto me. Love good, hate evil, and love the good. Yeah, hate the evil and love the good. A lot of people out there that hate good and love evil, just the opposite. But seek good and not evil that you may live. Hate the evil and love the good. And it may be that he will be gracious to you. Amos 5:16, therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, and it's there. It's not a lot of repetition in the original. It says, Yahuwah, the God, the El of hosts, Adonai, the Lord, you know, using different phrases there. He's the Lord, he's the God, and he is by name, using his name, calling him God and Lord, saith thus, wailing shall be in all the streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandman to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day that the Lord is darkness and not light. You know, woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. You got them out here. They go into the corporate church and they go, you know, because they're looking for the rapture. Yeah. Woe to you that desire the rapture. Because you're going to be in for a big surprise. Woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. Because you think it's going to happen to others, but not you. But you know what? You're not going to be. I don't desire it. I know it's coming. I just pray that I can be obedient to him and be led by his Spirit through it, before it, when it comes. Yeah, that's what I pray, because I don't plan on being raptured out of anything, because I can't find that rapture in my book. But it says, woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. Yeah, woe to you that desire the rapture. All you escapists out there who think you're going to escape. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. And if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned on his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. You can liken this. You hate the people. They hate God's feasts. They don't want to keep Passover and tabernacles and unleavened bread. No. See, we're free from all that. The law of God was nailed to the cross. We don't have to keep those days. Let's keep Ashtaroth instead. How about the death of the Son? We'll call it Jesus' birthday. That'll make it good. Yeah, how about Halloween, you know, All Saints Day? Yeah. We could bribe the children with candy and gifts. See, Ashtaroth, candy and gifts. Yeah, Halloween, candy and gifts. Oh, yeah. Valentine's Day, candy and gifts. Get it? You getting it? You have to bribe the people with candy and gifts to keep pagan holy days? And say, oh, we're free from the law. Heavy burden. Heavy burden? Come on. You're just exchanging one feast day for another, his feast days for pagan feast days that the great mother harlot has imposed on the whole world. You gladly accept. And you say, oh, well, we're Protestants. Yeah. You don't even know what a Protestant is. We're the reformers. We're the reformed. Yeah. Well, reformed, really. Yeah. So So you worship the sun and the fertility goddess. And you have all your little, opening of the matrix symbols on Valentine's Day. Yeah. Certainly there's no. That symbol doesn't mean what it really means. It means something else, right? Yeah, it's all innocent, right? And you give these absurd and grotesque, lewd symbols to your children. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell your solemn assemblies. That's all. They're just snubbing their nose at the Almighty. We hate your law, God. You know, we love our adulteries and our birth control. We love the fornication. You know, we would rather have candy and gifts. Oh, yes. How could it deprive my children of candy and gifts? It's almost child abuse to not allow your children to participate in these pagan festivals and get candy and gifts. Gift of God is eternal life. He is our reward. We don't need candy and gifts. He is our reward. Obedience to Him is our reward. That desire to live a life that's pleasing to Him. It's all going to be turned around. We have no leaders today. All the churches are being led astray by men who are trained by the enemy of God. And many don't even know it. We'll be back after some messages and the news. You're listening to Cross the Border.